Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the San Luis Obispo Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting, Wednesday, January 8th. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Barbeau?
Here.
Ms. Edwards?
Here.
Mr. Enns?
Here.
Mr. Guthrie?
Here.
Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Newman?
Here.
Newton, sorry. Mr. Paulding?
Here.
And Mr. Robert?
Here.
All right, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Gang's all here. And if you'd please stand with me and face the flag.
Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Righty. It's time for, let's see, our executive, our non-agenda public comment. Do I have any public comment for non-agenda items out? Anyone like to speak on something that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, bring it back. And Executive Director, Mr. Cron, have your report, please. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, President Robert. And once again, I want to welcome Cindy to our board. Thanks so much for joining us today, representing the city of Morro Bay. So quick, the 555 charter update, we've actually moved half the staff into the building. We're assessing what our next steps are and moving forward to getting everybody else down there. But it's nice to have people operating down there. It gives us an opportunity to see where
Excuse me 1 minute.
All right.
Excuse me one moment.
Is that better?
1 moment. Also, all our screens are not on. I don't know who does that.
AGP, we got an issue with our screens.
We have no screens for the... Are they turned off? Here we go. Something happened. That one's on. Oh, can you turn that one on or off?
We're not getting in on our screens.
One good, Robert? No, just hold it for a second and then release it. It should go on. There you go. Your game will be up in a moment. Everyone good? You good, Cindy? Okay.
I'm trying to figure mine out.
She has two.
I'm special.
Oh.
I remember that one.
Yes, yeah, the one on the left.
Yeah,
I don't think it's Adele.
I can see her. I'm good, guys.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Okay, let's start again.
Certainly. I was surprised that you couldn't hear me.
It's kind of weird.
I got that. I had a little too far away. The next thing up is SB 54. We've talked about that a little bit. It's now been promulgated into law. And now the next step is a needs assessment. We'll be working with our solid waste providers, understanding the needs for meeting the requirements and identifying a gap analysis on what is recyclable, what is not recyclable, and what is compostable. And from there, we'll be able to take some next steps forward on that. AB 2440, it's a battery stewardship program that takes effect April 1st. It is affecting single-use batteries, both rechargeable and regular single-use batteries. Producers will have 12 months to establish a retail take-back program from the April 1st, 2025. So that should help us out because right now we operate a retail take-back program for batteries and fluorescent tubes. And so that should be another thing coming off our list. And then Chiquita Landfill. I don't know if you follow the news. In Santa Clarita, there's a landfill that's been spewing benzene and creating about an 8-mile radius of this green cloud. They've closed that. And what's interesting about that is that was taking about 30% of the waste from Southern California. So somewhere where that waste has to go. Right now, the thought is to take it to Antelope Valley and or potentially out to a landfill out in Imperial Valley. So anyways, the waste industry is always interesting. It's always changing. We'll put together the new board member orientation on February 13th. That's a Thursday, not Wednesday, because Wednesday's a holiday. And we're going to go up to Buckeye Processing up at San Miguel. It'll give you guys an insight into a small operation on how they operate. They don't own a landfill. They own a facility, and they own a transfer operation. And so it's a completely different insight. They don't run the same type of operation that you've seen in the past. So it's a little bit more unique. It's run by the Kardashian family, and I think it'll be very educational. And then the new board member orientation packet will be also available at that meeting, and you'll be able to review it and give us some feedback. And then the 2025 Solid Waste Summit, we're looking at that. We're looking at dates, and we're looking at subject for that. And once again, getting back to focusing on the things that are education and outreach, SB 54, and trying to make sure that we're staying abreast of the ever-changing landscape of solid waste laws. And that concludes my executive director report.
Thank you, sir. Did you have a question? Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed the beginning of your report when you were talking about 555 Toro. When do you expect the whole operation to be moved in and the OSOS headquarters to be shut down?
So that's that gets detailed in later on and in today's meeting.
Okay.
But if everything goes according to plan, we're hoping that sometime around February 1st, February 2nd, we'll be out of there. But I think we'll have the next executive committee meeting in 555 Choro.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Guthrie has a meeting.
Yeah, and the battery stewardship program, how is that going to affect the consumer or the customer facing part of this?
Right. So that's a good question. As they develop this program, there's a requirement for every 18,000 people identified in a census tract, they have to provide one location, the battery industry, and so. Outwardly facing, it's not going to look a whole lot different than what we're doing. It will just change probably who's accepting it. So you'll see some of the larger retailers take on this responsibility more so than the smaller retailers that we have doing it now. And that's because they'll get the sponsorship from the large battery producers. So the people like the large companies that sell batteries it's an extended producer responsibility bill. And so the large producers of batteries will be funding this.
Okay, thank you.
Correct answer? I don't know. That was kind of a guess.
Any other questions?
Gives me an idea of exactly where a customer will be looking to.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All the meetings that we have set up yet for this year.
Yeah, it's in your packet. It's going to be the calendar. Okay. And when you take a look at the calendar, it's on the consent agenda, and you'll get that listing to you again.
Yeah,
very good. Thanks.
It's in there. Yes, sir.
So be clear, because I was thinking, we have battery take back. Like I go to Home Depot and take back batteries. But you're saying right now I could probably go to the 7-Eleven that sells batteries or whatever, and that would most likely change under this program because it would migrate to the bigger
right stores. And that's going to be something that we're going to have to address as a group on how much do we continue to pursue our retail take back ordinance with the new extended producer responsibility bills coming online, because all of a sudden we've got a duplication of efforts where the state is superseding our ordinance. So this is something that we just need to be aware of and understand that as this next year comes around, this is going to be an evolving piece.
Our ordinance and program was adopted in response to some sort of state mandate though, right? Or is it just purely something we did locally?
No, this was, I don't recall the date, but I think it was 2007 or 2006, wow. And that was predating a lot of these ordinances. It was more of a response to the agency's support of extended producer responsibility at the time.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, yes.
I have another question about the new board member orientation. And are you planning to include our alternates in that?
We certainly can, and it's probably a good idea, because I think as these new solid waste rules and regulations come in, you realize that you're subjecting them to me talking to them for 45 minutes, uninterrupted. Both ways.
Well, I think so. My alternate is going to be Michael Boswell. Who's
yeah, okay, yeah, he'd be great to have. Yeah, we definitely should involve them because
he's, like super interested in. So I think Cindy, you were an alternate for and for this for IWMA too, or no? No. Anyway, the alternates sometimes get left behind, and then if something happens and they have to actually be at a meeting.
No, yeah, I think it's probably a good idea because there's the rules and laws and changes that are coming at us now are pretty dramatic between SB 54, AB 2440, the new extended producer responsibility bill for single-use propane cylinders. There's a lot of changes.
Okay, thanks for considering.
That's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea to include them on the agenda information as well, so they have that. Okay.
Certainly.
Any other questions? We're good. Okay, so let's move along. Moving to the consent agenda. Do I have any public comment on this consent agenda? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. Oh, excuse me, committee. And everyone's gone over the consent agenda. Can I get a motion to?
I had a question.
Oh, question.
I noticed that we received $150,000 of interest income, which is not insignificant. I assume because of our somewhat larger than expected balances and, you know, higher interest rates than in the past.
Correct. That was put in there just for you in your last inquiry. So, yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, that is fairly significant.
It is. And that's we can anticipate seeing that again coming up. Yes, and that's addressed a little bit later as well.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Would like to pull anything from the consent agenda?
I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Just on item 9, the go to zero, is that how you say it? Okay. Is that the same thing as smart services? Because the RFP is for smart services, but the item is go to zero, and so I was trying to figure out where is go to zero anyway.
Yeah, my apologies.
That's okay.
That's three organizations running under one roof.
One roof. Yeah.
And so go to zero, smart compliance, and there's another name, smart 1383. They're all the same organization, same group of people. What they do is they do a compliance software similar to what we're using with the Recyclist. But the go to zero seems to be much more flexible for what we're trying to achieve, and it also is quite a bit less expensive.
Okay. So.
But it will require a data migration, which is always challenging.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, you're going to get a motion, please?
I'd be happy to move approval of the consent agenda.
Second it.
Very good. Roll call.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the regular agenda, public comment. Is there anyone in the public who would like to make any comments on the regular agenda? We can take these one at a time as well. Seeing none. Okay, number 10, the mid-year budget review.
So I wanted to present you with a bit of a mid-year budget review, just to give you an idea where we are fiscally this year. We've made a lot of changes in the past by continuing to try and address our over-earnings through adjusting the solid waste management fee. And so some of the revenue highlights is the revenue is sitting at about 34.5% of budget right now, but there's a lot of latency in how we collect our revenues. Our revenues typically are paid to us after the landfill tipping fees surcharge and the solid waste fees are collected. So we see a little bit of a latency in that. The solid waste management fee was temporarily reduced this year from 4.4 to 3.0% at the beginning of the year. And projections show that those revenues are going to run about 109% of budget. So I feel we're getting kind of close on that. And so this information together with Our budget information is what we're providing to our contractor that's doing our solid waste management fee analysis. Expenses are running about 45% of budget, and some of the high-impact areas are the new contracts for the solid waste management fee and the waste characterization study. Those are both grant-funded pieces, but they will impact our budget as it stands today. And the changes in the hazard waste costs are something that we should be aware of. The disposal costs for batteries, disposal costs for aerosol cans, disposal costs for propane cylinders, every one of these items keeps going up, and they go up somewhat disproportionately to everything else that we've got budgeted. So we're watching that relatively closely. I don't see it as a problem with our budget because I think we'll still be within budget on our services line, but it is something to take a look at. And then solar panels remain the unknown for the agency. Right now, there's nothing out there that's addressing solar panel disposal. And as these solar panels hit the end of life at 20 years, we're starting to see more and more of those come into our landfills and our household hazardous waste facilities. And then the capital outlay. So we completed the purchase of the building at 555 Charo and started the relocation. Once that move is complete, the sale of the building of 870 Osos will be initiated, and those revenues from that sale will largely offset the costs of 555 Charo. We have two more projects in development in the capital outlay. One of them is the San Miguel CSD household hazardous waste facility. We have a service gap in the north San Luis Obispo County area, and this should help address that gap. And then the relocation of the Heritage Ranch household hazardous waste facility, because they're modifying their wastewater treatment site, and with that, we need to relocate our facility because our facility happens to be sitting right in the middle of where a piece of their equipment's going to go. So it has to move. That's the challenge with HHW sites.
Is it on that facility still though, or in the same location? Just
no, it's in the same location. Yeah, yeah. And we get down a little further. Yeah. I'll go into a little better in depth analysis on that when we get towards the end of the presentation.
Right.
Because that one is. That's pretty minimal. It's a pretty small site.
Got it.
It's fundamentally just for the residents of Heritage Ranch.
Okay.
And so any questions on the review? You guys got a chance to take a look at that.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Ms. Marks.
Yeah. I had a question about the insurance on page 43.
Sure.
So it looks like... we're over just about $6,000 there, but my curiosity is aroused by whether we are including 555 in that insurance, or is that just the insurance for our present facility, or is it liability insurance? Or what?
It's liability insurance, and it's always paid at the beginning of the fiscal year. So that's the one-time payment that we make for the entire year for this agency. So it covers our HHW sites. It covers the building liability. It covers our workers' comp and everything around that. So it's sitting at a little higher than we budgeted, but that's just a one-time cost. We won't see another. I don't believe we'll see an increase off of 555 Charo to 870 Osos because we don't. There's nothing to change the modifier.
Okay, so we haven't yet insured 555.
No, we have.
But does it show up on this or not?
It doesn't show. It's in that transition time. So
okay,
when we insure both, and then as we transfer one out of the other, we cancel on the other side.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. Mr.
Any other questions?
I do. Yes. So we've heard this warning on solar panels a few times. What are we doing right now about solar panels?
Well, we take them, and then we package them, and we send them off to Alianza, which is our HHW site, a processor. And from there, they go someplace to be recycled, right? And that kind of is disturbing to me. I mean, I'd like to get us to where we are actually having a position where we're taking something cradle to cradle so that we're actually making sure they're being recycled. I don't doubt that Alianza is doing the right thing, but I'd really like to have a better assurance on that. And so I think we've talked a little bit internally about creating a single location where we can transload them to and then manifest them out of there to an actual recycler. But we haven't got that far yet to get that to the, in front of this board.
And are these primarily coming from roofing companies who are, or are they coming from solar companies, or is this an individual showing up with them? Who's our customer?
Yes. if it's a solar company, we charge them. But the solar companies are catching on. So what they do is they say, well, if you take them to the HHW site, it's free.
Excuse me. Are we okay on this conversation with the solar panels? It's not agendized. Not on the agenda.
It's actually mentioned in.
It was part of the executive director.
It was part of the presentation.
I apologize.
Yeah. So that's just solar panels going back too.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I did bring that up because it is very concerned.
I apologize. Thank you. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Okay.
So yeah, but we'll be bringing something back to you to identify what our opportunities are, and there is some EPR, there's some movement on EPR for these products as well, and that would be ideal.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Since we're talking about this under the budget, so even you say we take it, that is at the household hazardous waste site.
Correct.
So yeah, I could, as a homeowner tearing these off, I could bring them in, but we pay our hazardous waste disposal contractor by the pound, don't we? Depending
Correct.
On the type of waste. So is our solar panels a particular category, or is this ratcheting up our costs? Because instead of bringing in, you know, 50 pounds of dried up paint or something, I'm bringing in, you know, 500 pounds of solar panels.
So there's no limitation on e-waste. So you're identifying household hazardous waste. E-waste is two different categories.
Okay.
So as e-waste, we don't put any limitations on it. If someone attests that they are a resident, then we accept that material. If we think they are a commercial operator, then we send them away and make them do a conditionally exempt small quantity generator form, to, and then they have to pay the cost.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Any other questions? Okay, I think that was just discussion.
Yeah, it was just discussion.
I did. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to number 11. Is there any public comment on number 11, video content productions? Seeing none?
So yes. Item number 11, it's a contract recommendation. The recommendation is to A, approve and accept the staff's ranking and recommendation of Out West Digital, and B, authorize staff to negotiate and finalize a contract for video content production with Out West Digital with a not to exceed maximum of $60,000, and C, authorize the board president to sign the contract with Out West Digital. Once again, this is an item that's funded through SB 1383 Local Assistance Grant, the $1.4 million that we received from the state of California. This type of project is something that we could not do without grant funding. This is why we use grant funding for these projects. This does not fit our normal normal scope of work or services. So this is one of those things that we're excited to do because it's a one-time piece that we anticipate being able to use for the next 10 years and as part of our education and outreach program. And so for today, I'm going to turn this over to Ashley Cooter. She's going to come up and do the presentation on this. Can she? No, she can't.
Testing. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon, board.
Thank you.
So just to provide a little bit of background on this project, as we discussed over in the summer, we concluded a survey done by Gigantic Idea Studios. And it was just kind of pulling our residents to see how are they feeling about our solid waste programs and where are the gaps in our outreach that we do to the community. We found that over half of the respondents were unfamiliar with IWMA. A lot of people were very skeptical about recycling, and over a third of those responses reported that they don't even use their green bin at all. So clearly there is a gap for our outreach that we're doing right now. They also, at the end of the survey, they recommended to us, they said, hey, your residents are really open-minded. They want to learn about these programs. You're just, maybe there's some gaps in getting that information out there. So hence is kind of the precipice for this project. If you go to the next slide, I think. So we put out the RFP for video content production on September 26th, and the RFP was pretty lengthy. It included a lot of requirements for the contractors who were wanting to bid. We asked them for a content library of still images and B-roll, and for educational videos, and then those videos would be repackaged for a bunch of different outlets we could use them for. We could use them on our website, we can use them at our member jurisdictions' websites, on social media, and then we would also use the rest of that grant funding that is budgeted towards education outreach to put them on television, broadcasting, streaming, just really get them as far and wide as possible. But the first step in that is getting a good set of content. So hence the RFP came out and we received 16 qualified proposals. We were overwhelmed with 16 proposals. It was a lot of proposals, a lot to get through. But we did our due diligence and we examined them all. We looked at samples of all of their previous work and then a ranking panel composed of IWMA staff and also an IWMA board member and our education outreach contractor. We reviewed and we rated the proposals based on the RFP. So these were the 16 studios that participated in the RFP process. And then the results of that process. So we scored them on three things, and then we weighted them accordingly, qualifications of the firm and their personnel, and then that also included looking at their videos and what they've done in the past, their creative outline. And then so that was basically they were saying what types of videos would they want to do, and then their budget. So these were the scores. I believe these are also in the packets. And you can see that the top selected contractor was Out West Digital with a score of 20.88 in combination of all of the rankers together. So the distinguishing characteristics that they were ranked on was their ability to produce and execute a high quality series of videos that could portray the message that we wanted to display. They demonstrated their ability to understand that message and how they would get it out. They gave clear and concise expectations of our staff, and they proved their ability to deliver all of the B-roll and imagery that we are honestly very desperate to have to be able to conduct our outreach effectively. And their fiscal impact, their budget came in at approximately $148,000. Cool. Yeah, that's me.
And so basically what this gives us is it gives us an opportunity to create this our education and outreach piece. From there, we will be able to distribute it through media outlets, including KSBY. Mm-hmm. And having grant funding to do this, we'll probably never see this grant funding again for the foreseeable future. We'll see some grant funding maybe through SB 54, but that'll be focused strictly on single-use plastics, not on media outreach. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So I still have difficulty with spending this much money on this much video because the outcome is still four finalized videos of 10, 30, and 90-second time frame. So four subjects, I guess, mm-hmm. You know. And then each would have, I guess, a 10, a 30, and a 90-second version. In terms of getting it through, and then the still images and some video content library for the B-roll footage. Are they involved in distributing this, or we distribute it at our discretion to, you know, outlets?
Yeah, we will be responsible for distributing. That's the reason we did the RFP, because we wanted to make sure that we were getting the value on this based upon what we asked for. So out of the, I think the budgets ranged anywhere from 150,000, 140,000 down to 48,000. And so, the cost of producing a quality video product like this, mobilizing people, bringing it up and going back to editing, I understand that concern about the cost, this appears to be the best value that we can achieve.
Right. I mean, it appears clearly these are the best of the proposals and the most reasonably priced or, you know, in terms of complying with what you're looking for. In terms of the grant, this would come out of how much is that total grant?
Well, that grant's about $1.4 million.
And what else could we spend that $48,000 on? Are we running up against a time constraint?
Right. Well, this is a two-year grant cycle, and this grant cycle was initiated in November of 2022. 2023, I'm sorry. So, yes, we're running up against a time cycle. It's a two-year grant cycle. So we need to initiate this, get this the product produced, and get it distributed and pay for the distribution so that we can get it out in front of people.
What else has the bulk of the grant been spent on?
It's been spent on a number of different items. It's also funding the SB 1383 compliance software. It does the compost rebate program. It does a couple of the different programs such as that. The education and outreach, the Carrot app for edible food recovery, science discoveries, a lot of their work that they're doing as well. But it's a two-year cycle, and it's specifically designed for people to produce things like this. The challenge we face is that we are a single voice in trying to convince people that, give them trust that what's happening with recyclable markets are is something that's beneficial. Like, if I put it in the bin, it's going to happen. The second thing is, you know, we're trying to, we're going up against a lot of marketing on what is compostable, what's not compostable, and what happens to something when you recycle it. And so struggling with this, as a, we have no real voice out there other than what we do individually through our website and whatever outreach that we do physically hands-on. So this gives us an opportunity to broaden that voice and try and get more information out there. And it's specifically what this is designed for from the state of California. It's what they designated a lot of these funds for.
And are there other demands, potential demands on this grant funding between now and November 25?
Not specifically at this point in time. I mean, this is how we set it up when we wrote the grant application. Mm-hmm. We do education and outreach.
And I know we live in the internet age, and everybody mm-hmm. thinks that's kind of their go-to thing, but, you know, the time, there is a time every week, well, not if one third of the people aren't using their green waste container, but, you know, when people go out and collect their trash can and they physically, you know, we ever thought of a non-internet way to do these things, like paying somebody to put information or letters or notices on trash cans on the day of collection. So then when they haul it back in, they go, oh, what's this?
Well, we do that as well. We do that through our route reviews, where we go out mm-hmm. there and we physically inspect. And oh, that was the other one. Another piece of software we purchased. But we do that on a regular basis when we go out there and we actually focus on getting direct contact with the customer, giving them direct feedback on it. And that's done through our route review process under SB 1383. We also have done some extensive outreach in certain markets, and we want to continue doing that, is going out and physically restickering every can in a community to try and make it effective.
They're working on silk screening that instead of stickers?
I mean, we do some in-molded graphics on some of the areas, but some of the haulers aren't receptive to doing an in-molded graphic quite yet. That is
the newer
of
ones.
Our design.
The right. new ones, yeah.
But right. those kind of hands-on efforts would be fundable under this grant.
Yeah, so what we're trying to do as many things as we can with this grant funding. Yeah. And this is an opportunity for us to take another and try another avenue to reach more people. Because you're never going to reach everybody with one piece.
Understand. You're never going to reach everybody with one method. One yeah,
message. Right.
Understand. Yeah. All right. Yeah, great staff presentation, by the way. Thank you.
Ms. Marks?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I had a question. Could you explain, it says that we're providing all deliverables, excuse me, including B-roll footage and still imagery. Can you explain what the B-roll footage is and how that would be used?
So when they do the video production, they will be photographing and taking numerous shots of a single, to create a single item. We get all the shots they take. So all that extra footage is B-roll footage. So we'll probably have more B-roll than we have actual deliverable product.
Yeah.
So it's not just four videos. It's also a whole bunch of other.
Correct. And then all we're doing is making arranging for editing at that point in time, which we can do in-house.
And they usually use that to edit into YouTube and Facebook and, you know, quick.
Thank you.
Yeah, it'll be sized for social media.
Right. Yes, sir, Mr.
Robert. Thank you, Peter. What's the time frame for their production? I mean,
how long does it take?
Yeah. Just curious.
I don't recall, John. That was so long ago. Honestly, I don't recall. I believe they wanted to start in spring because that's when it's good to be here.
I see.
And so this spring is what I think they were aiming at. But we need to get engaged, get them started, and get them rolling because that's springtime in San Luis Obispo is beautiful.
So probably think around 3 months, 90 days type.
Yeah, thing to get. I don't think it's going to take that long once they mobilize. I think their shooting schedule, because they're based out of Southern California, their shooting schedule is much more condensed than everybody else's. Less time to mobilize.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
I have a
I have a question, if I may. Yeah, do you foresee this being something that will be presented to the municipalities? Like, I have a community that tends to get their information from the water bill that's mm-hmm. still identified as the best channel. So I'm just wondering if this would be given as a presentation at all, or if you've even thought of that.
What we plan on doing is making it available to our entire LTF. So your staff will have access to this information as well.
Absolutely. Mr. Guthrie?
Yeah, so first of all, we had a presentation this a few months ago. Is this the same company?
Same company, except we got the scoring card right this time.
Okay.
Last time we couldn't add.
Just right.
Doing better at it.
Question?
Hold on, I have another question. And so of this 1.8, how much of that is left unspoken for? I realize some of it's, I assume, committed already for going over the next.
I would be guessing. I think it's about half.
Under.
Just under half.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been committed to date.
Okay, and we've mentioned how this is going to be. Are we planning any promotions that we're going to pay for? Have we explored in budgeting? I mean,
yeah, that's the plan. We've talked about it, but we need to bring it back to you to approve it once we have a product. It's like carts and horses. Once we get a product, we get something that's developed, we can show it to you, and then we can talk about how we're going to move it forward. Right. While it's grant funding, I want to make sure that you guys are in tune with everything that we're doing.
Okay, I would just start in that sooner than later.
Because, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
There's a lot of admins. All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Oh, one more question.
In the RFP, it mentions the four different prompts. Do you expect then that these four videos will actually be those four prompts?
Mostly, yes. I mean, we want to allow them some creativity as well. So if they come to me with a better idea and staff agrees that it's a better idea, we'll utilize that idea.
Okay. My only concern is when you look at like the recycling stickers on a can from 10 years ago till today, they're two different worlds, right?
Yeah.
And I almost feel like now within 5 years, it's going to be a flip chart you're going to have to attach to each can. Because the complexity, really, common sense doesn't win when you think what gets recycled. And if it has a recycle logo on it, we've learned that doesn't mean anything either.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure we don't pigeonhole ourselves with a video that's possibly not usable 2 years from now.
That was definitely a concern when we were creating these prompts, yeah. Making sure that we don't focus on something that's going to change. We want to stay with something that is Everything. Going to be constant. Notice there's no plastics on there.
Right. Okay.
Not plastics. Mr. Hammond.
Thanks, Robert. Yeah, Peter, this is sort of like a storyboard, correct? Like you're giving them direction where we want to see certain bits of information put into, right?
Right. I mean, this is based upon experience that we have from our staff and from our group talking about how are we going, where do we think the greatest value for what we're going to spend is going to be taking place?
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Motion?
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve and accept staff's ranking and recommendation of Outwest Digital, authorize staff to negotiate and finalize the contract for video content production with Outwest Digital with a not to exceed maximum of $60,000, and authorize the board president to sign the final contract with Outwest Digital.
Hammond seconds that.
Very good. A roll call, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
No. No.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
No.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. Very good. Okay, moving on to item 11, or excuse me, 12, creation of an ad hoc strategic planning committee. We spoke about this last meeting, so we're going to get some people interested in sitting on the planning commission. I think we already did that, didn't we?
No, that was a separate ad hoc that was directed towards. What was that?
Yeah.
Relocate. I think it was. No, it was something else.
Something.
This is something we talked about.
It's been so long.
Yeah, I know. It's been months. This recommendation is create an ad hoc strategic planning committee and select members to participate pursuant to Article 2, Section 2.8 of the IWMA Rules of Procedures. What we're looking at is we've been operating under a strategic plan that was developed by HFNH, and we've deviated from that plan, and I want to get us back into alignment with a direction that is driven by the board. We have a couple things we need to look at. We have a surplus of revenues that we have out there, and we have some items out there that are unfinished business on. Where does this board see this agency in 5 years? And I think this is super important that we actually formulate a plan, bring it back to the full board with the ad hoc's approval, bring it back to the full board and have this as an open discussion item. There's a lot of pieces that are coming at us quickly, and it's challenging enough for me to follow it, much less try to present it to a full board. And I'd rather do it within an ad hoc, get a feel for where you guys are, and then bring it back to a full board. That's the intent on this.
Makes sense. Do you have any questions on that? Yes, just Ms. Pauling?
Not a question, just a comment. I'd be happy to serve representing the unincorporated part of the county.
Okay, we'll put you first on the list. Okay.
I have a comment question. As well.
Okay.
Yeah, I started, so this is my, I think I'm entering my ninth year on the IWMA. But in 2021, I was more recent service. And the first meeting that I attended, which was the first meeting of that year, we just passed the strategic plan. And then at the end of the meeting, the then executive director said, and by the way, this is my last meeting, I'm quitting. And so anyway, there may have been a lot of thought and deliberation that went into the formation of that strategic plan, which is still the strategic plan we have. However, I was never made aware of it. And reviewing it subsequently, I went, whoa. So I think it's really a good idea to do this, and I'm willing to also serve on the ad hoc committee if people want me to.
Okay.
I'd also be interested in serving.
Well, I just had a question. How big do you see the committee? Because obviously it can't be more than four.
Three. Well,
three. You're looking at three or four.
So, Daniel, that's a good question for you, because it'll also involve legal, because some of the things that we're going to cover require legal input.
So it'll be between three or four members. That's the cap. And then the other quorum that you run the risk of running into is with the executive committee. So there should only be one member of the executive committee and three other members at the most, just to avoid a quorum.
Yeah, I'll be off the executive committee in July when we have our new officers. So I don't know. How do you want to do it? Mr. Robert, you decide.
Because you're still on the executive committee.
No, I was going to comment. I'm not on the executive committee anymore.
One.
But I mean, and I would be willing to serve, but I'm not dying to serve on this committee. I look at it, though. I think it's great that Mr. Pauling would serve, because that's important, I think. But I would ask perhaps either Mr. Hammond or myself from the North County be on the committee.
So you're willing to be on the
I'm willing to be, but I'm not dying to be. So if we only want to have three, and you know,
okay,
I don't need to be on it.
Edwards, you have a question, Ms. Edwards?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what kind of what kind of time frame, how many meetings, and I would be obviously a fresh pair of eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see that too. Cindy should get probably a little more. That would kind of spread out, not heavily weighted to the North County either. So that would help.
So you're going to see at least 4 to 5 meetings on this, because this is not a light topic discussion. I mean, it took us 2 years to buy a building. So I'm looking at this as being a little bit more demanding than that, to put together something that's going to be effective.
So maybe every 6 weeks?
Yeah, I'd like to have it done within 6 weeks. I'd like to move it quickly.
I think it would be great to have our new member serve on this committee. So I will defer.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So, Jim, you're good? You still want to be?
But if we,
Jan's not.
Because you will be the president then, and I'll be off the executive committee, and I don't know when this strategic plan is going to be finished, so I'll withdraw my volunteerism.
10 years, Mike.
And I'll support Jim, being that it was his idea to kind of convene an ad hoc committee for a strategic plan.
He should be on. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so Ms. Edwards, Mr. Paulding, and Mr. Guthrie.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
One quick question for,
yes, sir.
For legal. When do we have to vote on this?
You,
we need a motion?
You don't.
No, so the ad hoc committee, it's, yeah, it's formed at the discretion of the president.
Is it a Brown Act meeting, so can we meet remotely?
So the ad hoc committees are not subject to the same requirements under the Brown Act. And so remote participation would be an option for members.
The environment. Very good. You're a good man.
And Chair, just one other comment. Just yes, wanted sir. To acknowledge the fact that, or observe the fact that there was so much interest in this. It's yeah. Great. What an awesome board. And that we won't be making any decisions as a committee. Everything comes back to the full board.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Supervisor. Okay. You got all that? Okay. Very good. Moving on to 13, temporary authorization for certain capital project expenditures. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. So number 13 is a temporary authorization for certain capital project expenditures. We talked a little bit about getting 5-5-5 Choro, getting everybody in there. We do need to do some improvements because but this building was broken into two pieces at one point in time, and they're not. One side is in a serious state of, no, I shouldn't say serious state.
No.
It's not as pretty as the other side. I'll just go there. There.
Yeah, one's been remodeled.
So, yeah, so the recommendation is to authorize the board president to approve, sign, and authorize payment for contracts for capital outlay on projects for 555 Choro Street office building up to the amount of $35,000, with such an authorization superseding IWMA policy F1 and expiring on December 31, 2025. If it takes us that long, that would be a problem. The planned improvements include the removal of a non-load bearing wall, installation of new carpeting that matches the other side, construction of a doorway, and interior paint. Work authorized under this item will not include lighting, electrical services, or plumbing. This is just to do the structural interior of the building so that we have a common workspace.
Real quick. That interior wall does have electrical in it.
Yeah, we can stub it out.
Oh, okay. So you're going to stub that part out.
Yeah. That one wall. Okay. They did run electrical into it, but we'll just stub it out back into the load bearing wall.
Okay.
Robert?
Yes.
Real quick. Yeah, that's what I was kind of going on too. So is there any of these other trades involved, lighting, electrical, plumbing at all?
It'll be covered under a single contract. It might be a little bit of electrical when they stub out the electrical.
Got it, yeah.
Nothing serious. Nothing will require a permit for the electrical.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
Are you confident that this can be done under the $35,000, that you won't have to be coming back?
Yes.
Okay.
Part of it won't be painted.
Okay. Ms. Marks?
Yeah, I have a comment about the fire safety of that facility in terms of creating defensible space between the eucalyptus trees and the structure itself. I'm not suggesting that it would be part of this particular capital project. It might even be operating, but I think at some point we really need to have the fire inspector or somebody look at it and just see if there were some kind of fire situation that the building would be.
I can't remember. Is there the trees? Do they overhang the building?
Yeah.
Is there, you can't.
On the freeway side. That's my memory.
They hang into the parking lot on the freeway
not the
sides,
building.
Not the building itself, the building proper. But it is nestled in there, and it is it is a challenge from a fire perspective. You know, my recommendation would be that we just run.
We just run. Yeah.
Would be what?
We just run. Run.
We run.
Yeah, he's being.
Well.
We could certainly bring in the fire marshal and have him take a look at it. But I'm not quite sure how much they can do with that.
I don't know. When you look at what's happening in Southern California right now, I think defensible space is better myself.
And hopefully we'll have insurance. They don't cancel everybody's insurance.
We have that.
Terrible. That's awful. Yeah, it's awful. But good question. Yeah, something to look at, especially if the trees overhang the building.
Certainly.
Okay.
I had a question that was just, is this hopefully the last of the, expenses needed to bring the move?
Yeah.
You know, the this occupation
is, this,
of.
This is the last piece that we would like to see. There'll be some minor changes with regard to furniture that we need, audiovisual stuff that we need to make the new meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. But, no, this is it. Ideally, I'd like to have everybody in there and it all looks the same. So far, the staff is really happy with this site and they're excited to get in.
Good.
Thank you.
The IT work was all finished?
IT
on
works
budget?
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. Any other questions? Can I get a motion? Or is there any public comment? Did I bring up any public comment? I'll bring it back. Get a motion.
Chair Robert, I'll go ahead and make a motion that you, as our president, approve, sign, and authorize payment for contracts of capital outlays for 555 Charles Office Street building and to also a total of $35,000 with such authorizations superseding IWMA policy F1 and expiring December 31st, 2025.
I'll second.
Very good. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. Very good. Moving on to item 14. Work for the household hazardous waste facilities.
Correct. So siting work. So part of the development of a HHW site is you have to have a siting plan, and part of that siting plan is used to demonstrate traffic flow and for the construction documents to pour the concrete and set the building pad. The recommendation is that they direct the executive director to work with the general manager of the respective community service districts to develop household hazardous waste site plans for San Miguel Community Services District and Heritage Ranch Community Services District wastewater treatment plants. These sites are typically located on wastewater treatment plants, and both of these plants are undergoing upgrades. So as such, my belief is that if I work with the engineer of record on these sites to develop the site plan through the CSDs and have the IWMA fund these site plans through the CSDs, that it'll help us not create a conflict where we're positioning and how the site is developed. I think it also gives us an opportunity to not engage an outside service to come in, and then you're going to create a conflict between the engineer on site and the engineer that we actually try and go out and select. So if you'll take a look at the location of the site at San Miguel CSD, it sits back. The entrance comes in off of Bonita, and then comes in through. They will come down and come into this area. This is the only area that our CUPA would approve because it's far enough away from the property line. It sits back far off the site, and it's in an area where the engineer of record has located that it's not in the floodplain, and it's a place where they can actually build it, and it won't interfere with the operational functions. And the Heritage Ranch site's a little more simple. It's just moving the site from one location to another. That's an existing site. So basically, we're just pouring a concrete slab. We're going to move it from back here behind the service area, the service yard, and put it here in a location where it has direct access from the public. So it's easier ingress and egress to receive the HHW from the residents of Heritage Ranch. This one's a little simpler. It's really just pouring a slab, and then we get a contractor to come in and move the buildings. And these are the two capital projects left that were identified in our capital budget, and it'd be nice to get these completed and off the books. Any questions on these?
Any questions?
Yeah, anyway. This being done on the CSD's property, you're going to work with them. Are they going to do the contract and we're going to pay them, or are we going to do the contract?
We're going to pay for a change notice to the CSD's, to the contractor of record.
Okay, so they'll arrange the construction itself, and we'll just pay
them. It's not a construction, it's a site plan. Construction we'll pay for. This is just a site plan.
Okay, so construction we'll pay for. You'll be back to us with a contract to approve and that sort of thing.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. For construction, it has to go out to bid for RFP, and it's got to be accepted, and we have to do it through our prevailing wage policy.
Got it. Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions? Yeah. No questions? Any questions from the public? No questions? Okay.
I'll be happy to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second. Yeah, roll call, please.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. Okay, we're going to move into closed session. So I'll have to ask the public to step out briefly, please.
We'll open up for public comment, President Robert.
Any public comment for the closed session? Board of Directors will recess. No. Public comment pursuant to government code as the public employment executive director. It's regards to the employment contract with the executive director. Any public comment? No. Okay. We'll see. Not yet. Yeah, there we go. We good? We're good. Welcome back. Convening out of closed session. Any reportable actions? Daniel?
The board exits closed session with no reportable action.
Thank you. I guess I could have done that. Moving on to public, board member communications. Does anyone like to speak of any communications they might have?
I did. I had told some of you I probably wouldn't be here. I was, after becoming mayor, I was going to most likely appoint myself to SLOCOG, but I did not. And so you're still stuck with me since I reappointed myself to IWMA instead.
For your service. Okay. Anyone else? No? We're good. Okay. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming. Thanks for waiting out there all this time.